Good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning. Good to have some visitors with us. A number of people who aren't here today for various reasons, but you're here and that's really great. And I think God's trying to tell us something this morning, don't you? You're not sure?
Yeah.
I think he's trying to tell us something. He's certainly trying to tell me something. If we can get it through, yeah. And yeah. Okay, we've been doing a series on identity. I hope you've gathered that these last few weeks. We've been talking about identity and we're going to carry on with that today. And if you've got your Bibles with you, Ephesians chapter 2, we're just going to read the first 10 verses, Ephesians chapter 2. The title for today is slightly different because Tom came up with this idea of this title and it's not what you are, this is what you're not. And the title is, You Are Not a Failure. You are not a failure. Ephesians chapter 2, the first 10 verses. In mine it says, made alive in Christ. That's the heading, made alive in Christ. As for you, that's us, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our own sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Verse 10 is the one I really want to focus on. It says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I'm God's workmanship. I'm created in Christ Jesus. You are God's workmanship. You're created in Christ Jesus. You're not a failure, and I'm not a failure. I don't know if you've ever been told you're not wanted, or you don't fit in, or you've been made redundant. We don't need you anymore. You don't come up to the mark. We've chosen somebody else. Sorry, you didn't get the job. It goes on and on and on. For me personally, I've done that. I've been there and I've got the T-shirt for a lot of those things. And that's what the world can often say to us. And it can just crush us and pull us down. And that's what the world says, but we don't live by what the world says. We live by what God says about us. And Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says this. It says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us, that's you and me, to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure and will. God chose me before the foundation of the world. I can't get it into my mind, it's just too much. God chose you before the foundation of the world. You are holy and blameless in his sight. I am holy and blameless in his sight. I am an adopted son of God. You are adopted sons of God. I like that where it says, He predestined us in according to his pleasure and will. You were a pleasure to God before the foundation of the world. I was a pleasure to him. I'm not often a pleasure to a lot of people. Yeah. Sometimes our nearest and dearest. I know it's Valentine's Day, but sometimes we cannot be the pleasure. Yeah. God says, I was a pleasure to him. Hey. I don't need anything else. In my earthly self, I know I can mess up and not be a pleasure and be a pain in the neck. But in God's eyes, in his kingdom eyes, I'm a pleasure. And I was in his will. Oh, I just can't get over that. I'm his workmanship. You're his workmanship. Unique. I'm unique. And you might say, well, we know that, Dave. There's only one of you. But yeah, I am unique. But you too are unique. And it's not a negative thing. Our uniqueness, my thumbprint, my DNA is unique because God chose me and formed me. I'm set apart for God. Scripture talks about the potter and the clay, yeah? I don't know how many times I was a lump and bang, we don't like the look of that, we'll start again. Bang, we'll start again. Bang, we'll start again. Imagine it on the potter's wheel. How many times was I dropped on the floor? Whoop, start again, we don't like the look of it, yeah? And maybe now we might say it's a bit too late. But no, that's not the truth. God made me. He formed me. He molded me. He said, I like it. He put me in the oven. And woof, look at that. Yes. And that's the truth. It's the truth of you, you and me. When you look at yourself in the mirror, what you see, ooh, crikey, a few spots, a few grey hairs, a few less hairs. Don't like the look of that, and with all this, you know. I've started on a bit of a diet this week. You know, didn't like the look of it because I couldn't get my jeans on. You know, I thought, oh dear me. What am I going to do? I better do something. So, you know, I've cut out the cakes and biscuits. Yeah, we do it, don't we? And it's a bit tough in our house. There's Chris baking cakes and everything. And I'm, no. It's really hard going, yeah. So sometimes we don't like this what we see. I'm sure this possibly wasn't God's workmanship when he made it. Yeah, it's my workmanship, this bit. Dear me, yeah. But you see, I've been, as it says in verse 1 of chapter 2, dead in my transgressions and sins. Yeah, far away from God. But... and we've done it here with the table. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he saw us even in that situation. God sees you in that situation today. If you don't know Jesus today, if you're not in a living relationship with him, he sees you in that situation and he loves you and he cares for you. He wants relationship with you. And what did he do? Because of his great love for us, God, rich in his mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. It's by grace you've been saved. And he's raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Once, that's past tense, once we were dead in our trespasses and sins. If you've come to Christ and you've got a living relationship with him, your sins are forgiven. Yeah, you're pure and blameless before him. You don't feel that in yourself. And you know you mess up. I know I mess up. You know you make mistakes. But when Jesus sees you, he doesn't see that. He sees the covering of the forgiveness that he's achieved for you through his grace and mercy at Calvary. So we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But now, present tense, by his grace, we are saved and raised up with him in heavenly places. And that's right now. I sit with Christ in heavenly places. Sometimes we don't live in the reality of what that means. But that's the truth. We are seated with him in heavenly places right now. We belong to Jesus. We're children of the King. We've just been singing about that. Now, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. And that comes with all the benefits of the parenthood of God Almighty. Yeah. It comes with everything he can give you as a child towards you. We used to sing a song years ago. Some of you will know this one. It's Now I Belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for Eternity. Yeah. I belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to me. Sons and daughters of the living God. Let's just pray for a moment. Just right in the middle of where we are right now, and just get that truth into you right now. If you've never got that truth in you right now, say, God, I just fall at your feet and say, Lord, save me. Forgive my sins. If you've never done that before, ask Jesus to come into your life and say, Lord Jesus, you've done it for me at Calvary. If you can't forgive yourself for something in the past, or there's something that's trapping you right now, say, Lord, just take it away, because I stand as a child of the living God in you and I receive your forgiveness. If there's something that's got you trapped, maybe it's something that's just gnawing you up all the time, a fear, a concern, a habit. Lord, release. Ask for release in Jesus' name. He says, I'm not having this anymore. And maybe some of you have struggled a little bit and you've messed up. And we're all there and we can all say, that's me. If that's you and you're just dragging yourself down and the devil's dragging you down and saying, you can't make it, you're not good enough, you're a failure, you'll never do it. Just tell him he's a liar and be restored. Stand up and say, Lord, I am a child of God. I restore myself to who I am in you, a son and daughter of the living God. And I refuse those lies. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's who we are in him today. Hallelujah. So what are we going to do? Now we're in that privileged position of who we are. Is that it? Yeah. Does the queen just sit round all day and says, well, I'm the queen and that's it? You know? No. How she does what she does at her age, I've no idea. But you know what I mean? You look at the queen's itinerary and it, you know, you'd be struggling to keep up with it yourself. It's just all go because, you know, hang on, I've got that position, but I want to use that position. I want to do something with it. I want to benefit my subjects, yeah? I want to make a difference. And guys, that's why we have been brought into that living relationship with Christ, because that verse that we read in verse 10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We can't just sit here on a Sunday morning and say, hey, we're all children of God. That's fantastic. I'm all right, Jack. Blow the rest, yeah? We can't do that. We've been chosen in him to do good works. Listen to this. Which God prepared in advance for someone else to do? No. God prepared in advance for you to do. And I'm pointing at myself as well. And for me to do. God's got something that only you can do. And you, me? No. Doesn't mean me. It does. God's got something only you can do. Unique gifting. Unique gifting that God has given you. A unique place that he's put you in. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place and we don't want to be there. Why did he put me here, Lord? This job's awful. I hate it. Why did he put me in this position? Why did he put me in that circumstance? Well, if we're following God and we're children of the living God, unless we're being disobedient and we put ourselves there, yeah, listen up, and we can all do that. And that's our fault. But generally speaking, if we're following God, we're seeking God and we're trusting his will, and he puts us in a position, he's put us there, why? To make a difference. He's put us there for a specific person and purpose. And how many of us today could give testimony of situations we've been in and God just met us at the right time? I came to see somebody this week. I had an appointment to see them and they were late. So I thought, well, I'll hang around. And it was almost an hour. I'll hang around. And I could have said, oh, forget it, I'll leave it. I met with that person. I walked out of the place I was. And as I walked out of the place I was, bang, I bumped into somebody who I haven't seen for a long time, who needed just to meet me. And I was able just to share and just give him a word of encouragement. Just at that right time. If I hadn't have done, I wouldn't have missed that person. They'd have gone. I was hoping they would have been here today, but they're not. But I haven't given up. The guy's name's Anthony. If you want to pray for Anthony, pray for him. Yeah. Just in that moment. And I'm not saying anything about me. It's not about me. But God does those. He orchestrates those situations at specific times for you and me. He's prepared those works in advance for you to do. And I don't know what it is, but I'm made to do good works. You're made to do good works. We've had this phrase in church, and it's one of those things we've got now, blessed to be a blessing. And that's what we all are, a blessing in places where we can go. We are blessing other people. Don't keep it to yourself. We've seen this 12 community blessings that we've done. Last month, we're going to do another one. 12 community blessings, a way to bless our community. Ruth prayed this morning, didn't she, about being in our community and making a difference. We need to do it, because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? I don't know if you're doing anything for Lent. I don't know if you've, you know, we don't do the church calendar stuff, but sometimes it can focus our mind. I've started less eating any cake, I've already said that, but I want to do something a bit more specific than that, something with a bit more benefit to other people. And there's lots of different things you can do. If you've missed the date, then start, now you can start, yeah? There's a couple of booklets on the table there. One is, it's called Living Like a Refugee, and it just, it puts you into the life of living like a refugee for 40 days. Just look at it and have a look. There's another one called ACTS, A-C-T-S, ACTS. Go onto the web and you can find it, and it just gives you things you can do each day, you know, and it gives you an idea of just little things you can do, and I don't know what that might be for you, but simple little things that we can do, and you've got to start simple. We talk about simple acts of kindness or random acts of kindness, and I don't know what that could be. It may be in a queue in Morrison's or somewhere, you say to someone behind you, well, hang on, you go in front of me, you know. And there's nothing worse than you're in a queue and you pick the wrong one. Yeah, someone can't find the change, someone can't find the card, you know, someone's thing won't go through the till, press the button, you know what I mean, and steam's coming out your ears. Well, just say, God bless you. And let the person behind you say, well, hang on, I've been here 10 minutes anyway, you go in front of me. Yeah? It's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Whoa, it's a hard thing to do. But a simple little thing. Or open the door for someone. Yeah? Or just smile at somebody. Yeah? It's important, those little things. What's God prepared for you in advance to do? I don't know. What's he prepared for me to do? The story, we know the story, don't we, of Moses, where God says to him, you know, he said, I want you to lead my people out of Israel. No, it's not me. You've got the wrong person. Somebody else. No, it's you. No, it's not me. It's you. Three times, no, it's not, it's somebody else, no, it's you. What have you got in your hand? Yeah, I've only got this stick of wood, it's nothing. God used it to bring his people out, and we've heard the story, Tom read it, didn't we, out across the Red Sea. You might say, well, I've got nothing, what have I got? I've got nothing. God says, whatever you've got, I can take it up. It might seem like an old stick, it might seem like a dry piece of nothing, but if you give it to me, and let me use it, and let me use you, wow, it's works that I've prepared in advance for you to do, and only you can do it. Let's just pray. You're not a failure. If you haven't grasped hold of that today, then I don't know how you ever will. God said this morning, right from the start, you, we are his child, sons and daughters of the living God. But we're all pieces. It's like a jigsaw. As I was preparing this, I got this picture of a jigsaw. And it's a massive jigsaw because it's all the people of God all over the world. And your little piece, as it puts into that picture, begins to make the picture even clearer. If you've done massive jigsaws, you know what it's like when you can't find those pieces and you find one. You find another one, you find another one, you find another one. And in this room, there's all these individual pieces, but God wants us to come together, to be brought together into this mighty army that will do his works. It's an illustration of God's people coming together, the kingdom of God coming and making a massive difference in our community, making a massive difference to the people who are around. There's another scripture in 1 Peter 2. It says this, it says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Lord, I just thank you today for who we are in you. I pray, Lord, that you just reveal to us, Lord, in our simple way, in our simple minds, Lord, we can't possibly take it in, that you chose us before the foundation of the world, that we are seated with you right now in heavenly places. Show us, Lord, what that means to us, Lord, so that we can live our lives in the fullness that you want us to live it in, so that we won't live, Lord, as paupers, that we won't live, Lord, as just, I don't know, making it happen, but Father, we'll just live as your kingdom people, sons and daughters of the living God, in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. But as we pass through, Lord, we want to make a difference. We want to bring others with us, Lord. So, Father, as we leave this place today, help us, Lord, to just make a difference, to do those works that you've prepared in advance for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.